Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I am going to be your host today. I will be bringing on my special guest, John Krejcha, shortly. I wanted to let everybody know out there who isn't used to hearing me as the host here at Autism and Scouting Radio that Autism and Scouting Radio is a special program that is part of our larger Autism and Scouting program. Our core Autism and Scouting program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment. And for those not familiar with Autism Empowerment, you can reach us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can also join us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/autismempowerment. And we are also on Twitter. You can also plug into our Autism and Scouting program at Facebook and Twitter online, and you can find those links at our website as well. Autism Empowerment as an organization is dedicated to providing acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment for individuals and families of all ages and abilities within the autism and Asperger communities. We are based out of Vancouver, Washington. However, our programs, such as our radio program here and our other opportunities that we offer through online, extend locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. And we're very excited to be able to let people on our Autism and Scouting Radio show know that we are one of six local charities that is currently in the running to be a chosen charity for the Neighborhood Toy Store Day. And this is at Kazoodles in Vancouver, Washington on November 10th. And before that, they're actually having a voting process where the top charity, one of the top six that have been chosen, will have that opportunity to get a donation from Kazoodles for that day. And you can support Autism Empowerment. In fact, we really would appreciate it by going to our Facebook page and looking for the Kazoodles link and voting between now and October 26th. We're currently in the lead, but it's close between our organization and another. All the organizations nominated are fine organizations, but we definitely appreciate every vote that we can get. So today, before I get into the meat of our show, which is talking about Board of Reviews, I want to go ahead and thank Erica Schron and Lindsay Foster, who joined John on Autism and Scouting Radio last Thursday, talking about how parents balance more than one scout that are in different scouting programs. Both of these ladies shared some great insight on how they do it. And actually, this show is currently the number two show, right behind the one that John and I did on bullying and scouting. Bullying and bullying prevention is something that Autism and Scouting will be revisiting because of how important the subject is. Since the launch of Autism and Scouting Radio on July 6th, we are currently have, let's see, I'm taking a look here at the statistics, and it looks like we've had over 2,200 listens to our shows. We are growing steadily, and we thank you so much for making our program a huge success. Please feel free to go ahead and subscribe to our show through Blog Talk Radio, or you can also search for our podcast on iTunes by going to the podcast section and clicking, doing a search for Autism Scouting. November is really looking like a strong lineup, and we're almost fully booked for the month. We have a few open days left, and we'll be taking a break around the Thanksgiving time frame. We're actually starting to book guests and topics into December and January of 2013, and if you'd like to be on our show or you have a special topic of interest that you'd like us to cover, please feel free to let John know. He can be reached at john@autismempowerment.org, and he's always interested in hearing from you. We actually have several new guests coming to Autism and Scouting Radio, as well as some repeat and return guests. We are focusing on bringing much more original content to the Autism and Scouting Radio program, as well as our Autism Empowerment Radio sister station. With Autism and Scouting Radio, we're going to be bringing on leaders from around the world through a variety of different scouting organizations to see what's going on in their areas. And we want to also bring back scouts directly from different scouting programs to talk about their journey in their quest to do their personal best. We actually are bringing on two scouts on the show in the first week of November, and we're finalizing a time for Crew 88 to be on the show as well. That's going to be a lot of fun, and you don't want to miss that. So today we're doing things a little different. Usually if you tune into Autism and Scouting Radio, you will hear John Krecha as the host. But today we're actually going to be interviewing him. He has a special topic that we're going to be talking about, which is Board of Reviews. About 6 months ago, he actually started writing a blog on it. If you don't follow John's Autism and Scouting blog, it is a great source of resource for autism and scouting topics. And this particular topic was one that he was originally starting to blog about, but things got kind of crazy, and so he hadn't had a chance to finish it. But about a week ago, there was a question that came up on the Autism and Scouting Facebook group about boards of review for the Boy Scouts of America. And that prompted him to finish the blog, which he's going to be posting before the end of the week at both the Autism and Scouting blog and the Autism and Scouting radio blog. So we're going to go ahead and be talking about that. I'm going to be bringing John on here shortly. If you'd like to call in today with any questions, our phone number is 347-855-8132. And just to give you a little bit of background about John, he is the co-founder of Autism Empowerment and currently serves as our Vice President of Operations. He's had a lot of experience with scouting and is the visionary behind our Autism and Scouting program, the Pioneer. He has two children in scouting right now, one in Cub Scouts and one in Boy Scouts. He serves as an assistant scoutmaster and also as a Tiger Den leader. He served in a variety of positions and is currently also serving on the Special Needs Council, the Special Needs Committee at the Cascade Pacific Councils of the Boy Scouts of America. So in addition to spearheading our Autism and Scouting program, John regularly connects with leaders in a variety of different scouting organizations around the world so that he can have his finger on the pulse of different things that are going on so that we can benefit our scouts within the autism and Asperger communities. So without any further ado, let me go ahead and bring John on the air here, and we'll get to talking about boards of review. Welcome,
thank you,
John.
So much for the, thank you. Thank you so much for the nice introduction.
I bet you're wondering when I was going to actually bring you on the air here, huh? So, John, today we're going to be talking about boards of review, and I guess the first question I have is for you to explain to our listeners, what is a board of review?
Well, a board of review is part of the advancement process. It starts, the advancement process starts with the individual scouts doing what they need to do within the different rank requirements. And then sitting down after all of those are done with the Scoutmaster to do a Scoutmaster conference. At that point, the Scoutmaster talks to the Scout about his journey so far at that point, what he likes about his patrol, what he likes about the particular troop that he's in. The Scoutmaster will also talk to him about what can be changed or what they would like to see different in that. It's kind of an informal meeting where they can kind of, the Scoutmaster can really get to know each individual scout even a little bit deeper. And then at that point, the Scoutmaster will sign off on the Scoutmaster conference, and then it goes to what's called a board of review. And a board of review is, again, a second checks and balances to make sure that the scout is, you know, really progressing in his journey along the path that he's choosing. Because in Boy Scouts, unlike Cub Scouts, it's typically up to the individual scout on how fast or how slow they advance. So this is kind of a way that the committee can kind of get a feel of how the scout is doing, how his personal journey is doing, and also how the troop is doing to support that personal journey. After the scout completes their requirement, the scout will then contact a representative, set up a border review. The purpose, again, is to determine the quality of the experience within the within for that scout. And all of those, in every single scout from the rank of tenderfoot all the way up to eagle, and even after each individual eagle palm that's earned, has to have a border review. And the guidelines can be found at the BSA current advancement manual, which is under section 8.00.1.
It sounds like this is a process that scouts will go through many times in their scouting career.
Absolutely. All the way from tenderfoot, second class, first class, the rank of star, life, eagle, and then, again, if the scout continues on and to earn eagle, what are called eagle palms, after each one of those, the border review needs to be done.
Now, we want to be able to help scouts that are on the autism spectrum to be more comfortable and successful during their board of reviews. So why don't you give a little bit more of an overview of specifically like what a board of review is, and then maybe go into what a board of review is not?
Absolutely. What a typical board of review is, it's typically an evaluation process for the scout. It should help determine the scout's abilities. It'll look at how the scout is living by the scout oath and law. It's a communication tool, really, for the board or the committee troop to really be able to get the pulse of what's going on with inside the whole community socially with that particular scout. It also has a chance for the committee to actually get to, again, better understand the individual scout and their value system. It's a judge on how the scout is being reviewed as benefit and how much it's a judgment on the program and how it's benefiting each individual scout. It's also a celebration of accomplishment because scouting is definitely a journey. It's some scouts can take years to advance one rank, or some scouts can go through them very, very quickly. But it should be a journey and should be able to determine how the growth process is of the program. And again, it's usually made up between three to seven people. The scout comes in. Usually, they're either at a table, and the scout. It's really determined by each individual unit on how the structure of a board is actually formed. But
so what typically happens may be different from unit to unit.
Right. Typically, in the units that I've been associated with is. The one is the scout will come in. There'll be a table. The board review people will be behind the table. The scout will come in full uniform. He'll either be seated or he'll stand, and the board will informally ask him different questions about what's going on with the scout, how the unit's functioning, his personal journey and whatnot. And it's pretty typical. It's usually in a pretty sterile environment, unfortunately, and it can, for a lot of scouts, it can be very frightening and very nerve-wracking because they just don't know what's going on and what like. What a board review is not, it's very clearly one reason for a board review is to ensure that the scout did what he was supposed to do and meet all the requirements, but it's not a retest. The board cannot, you know, ask them to tie a knot or to make to do a particular requirement. It's not a retest of what's already been done. It's not a challenge of his knowledge. It's just to kind of get a feel of where the scout is. So a lot of times, you know, it's to make sure that the individual scout is on a journey appropriate to where they are socially and everything else.
Okay, so in order to qualify, they still do have to meet those requirements, though, but at the Board of Review, it's just assumed that if they've been signed off and gotten to that point, then it's on their honor, or how does that work?
Well, if it's up to the Scoutmaster to make sure that even before it gets to a Board of Review, all of the requirements are done.
Okay.
And so that's why there's a Scoutmaster conference first before the Board of Review, because that way the Scoutmaster can review all of the requirements, make sure that he's met all the requirements, and then once he signs off on that, it's basically telling the board that this particular scout has completed everything that they need to advance.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. How long do these board of reviews typically last?
Well, they tend to be very short to begin with. For example, a tenderfoot or second class should take maybe 10 to 15 minutes. Again, it depends on each individual unit. Some it may be less, some may be a little bit more extensive. But typically, when the scout is first starting out as a tenderfoot or second class level, it should only be 10 to 15 minutes. Once they progress into first class life or star life, those boards of review tend to get a little bit longer. A typical Eagle Board of Review could last anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes. Just because that whole process is actually structured a little bit differently, because there's other people that are involved that are interviewed, but it's more of an intense interview process.
Now, are there any people that are not allowed in the Board of Review? For example, I'm thinking you said that there's about 3 to 6 people there, and it can kind of sometimes be a sterile environment. For a scout on the spectrum, they may feel uncomfortable. Are they allowed to bring someone in there with them that they feel comfortable with, or how does that work?
Typically, first of all, any assistant scoutmaster or scoutmaster are not allowed to sit on a Board of Review. So it's mainly made up of committee members or someone who the committee has deemed as nonpartisan. The parents are not allowed in the room. And this, again, it's a little bit different for an Eagle Board of Review, because in there you can actually have an advocate come with you, with the scout, but not a parent. So it could be, or not a scoutmaster.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think that the question here then is that we would want to help the scout prepare, because it sounds like he would be in front of a number of people that he may not be that familiar with, interacting with on a regular basis. So how would you help a scout that's on the spectrum prepare for a Board of Review?
Absolutely. There's a number of great tips that can be used, because quite frankly, it is a very stressful situation for the scout. It can be a stressful situation for any scout on the on the spectrum or not on the spectrum, but those on the spectrum tend to have a little bit more anxiety. So there are some definitely things that we can help deal with the stress. First of all, you can ask, try to ask for a smaller board of review made up of maybe only 3 members versus 6 members. That way the scout doesn't feel like everyone's looking at him, and it's a little bit less intimidating. Again, the minimum number is 3, so asking for that accommodation would be very, very common. Try to ask for a friendly face on the board of review. A lot of times there's people within the unit that are on the committee that the scout will know, or a parent of a friend of theirs. It's okay to say, you know, maybe ask for a friendly face on the board of review, because a lot of times the scouts won't know all of these people, but to have someone that actually knows them. For example, many times there's interactions with the advancement chair, so having him or her on the border review for this particular scout might be advantage, because this is someone who knows the scout, and because they've dealt with the scout before in different circumstances. It's not stacking the deck in any way. You're just trying to help provide a more balanced place for the scout so they can be focused. Try to get the sample questions from the committee handbook and practice those questions. There's actually a handbook that the committee uses to have standard questions. It's okay to have those questions, ask for the questions in advance to practice. It's not saying that those questions may come up, because some questions may come up that are not on in the handbook but are very similar. And so having something that the scout can use to practice can be very powerful and beneficial. Before the scout even goes into the border review, and have the family sit down and do a mock border review with maybe three family members. Start with the easy questions. Ask them about how their day was, how they like camping, how they like the hikes, what they liked about their particular unit patrol, what maybe things that they could change or tweak with their patrol. So you could do like a mock border review beforehand, so the scout knows kind of what to expect. It's really a very simple thing to do. Find three family members. Usually those are pretty friendly to the scout. You would hope so. And then you can, you know, work with the scout there.
So this is really more like it's a role playing that you're
Absolutely. It's basically providing the scout a way that they can visualize what the border review will look like. As you know, many on the autism spectrum are very visual learners. So seeing this and actually running through this as a practice is very, very helpful. Another way which is really helpful is actually writing out a social story. You know, do six boxes, show what the process is, so they can visually see it in writing. That's another visual tool that can be used in order to help facilitate the scout to be more prepared. And that's honestly, that's the motto of both the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, is be prepared. And this is what you're doing, is just preparing your scout to be going to a situation that is inherently going to be stressful. So taking away those stressors off of the scout is really something that can benefit everybody. Also, if the scout has sensory issues, you can ask for a more sensory-friendly environment. Ask them if there's rows of lights in the particular room, ask them to turn off one of the rows of lights, or ask them to be able to have the border review in a different scenario or a different circumstance. That's totally acceptable. Have a fan to circulate the air, because a lot of times, especially in the summer times, in most places in the country, it can get very, very hot, and then you add the stress and the heat and all of these other things. So make sure that the scout feels comfortable. Ask in advance for the board members to speak at a lower volume. My son has a voice modulation issue, like you wouldn't believe, but having, being able to have people understand that the volume coming at them can actually hurt them and cause them more stress, having a board know that, they'll be, I'm sure, more than willing to accommodate and talk softer and provide those types of review. And again, have one of the things too is, if you know where the border review is going to be held, have the scout go in beforehand and see, so they visually can see how the room is going to look, how it's going to feel, the smells of the room, all of those types of sensory issues. They can get a sense of what the room is going to be like beforehand, so they can feel like, okay, I can do this. I can feel comfortable going into this room. I may be uncomfortable, during the process, but having that support. Also, you want to be able to have be have the scout be there, have a friendly face outside during the border review so the scout knows that someone is there to support them. That's real important. Because typically after what happens is after the border review, the scout will come out, and the border review will be, the board will ask the scout to exit the room, and then the scout needs to exit. The board will actually talk amongst themselves if the scout should advance or not, and what they thought, and then they'll bring the scout back in. So having that friendly face there, knowing, having that support is really, really important. So those are some really key things that you can really do to really help your scout. Doing a mock border review, having a friendly face, getting practice, having questions, doing, again, a social story is very, very helpful. All of these types of things can really, really help reduce the stress.
Oh, those are excellent tips. Now, I have a question for you. In these advocacy things, like, well, asking, like, for example, for the sensory-friendly atmosphere, would that be something that you would suggest the scout do or his leader, or do the parents get involved? Because I know in Boy Scouting, the parents have less involvement than they would, say, in Cub Scouting. Who do you recommend advocate for these things?
Well, ideally, it would be the scout themselves, because the whole idea of scouting, Boy Scouting, is to prepare the scouts for life situations. And one of the biggest things is to have them advocate for themselves. In our particular troop, once the scout has finished the Scoutmaster Conference, it's up to the individual scout to call the contact to make the border review. The parents aren't allowed to do that because they want the scouts to be able to take ownership of their advancement. So if possible, to have the scout advocate for themselves would be the best thing. And they could go see the committee chair, explain to them, and if they needed a parent behind them as extra support, that would be great as well. When on the earlier boards of review, such as Tenderfoot and, again, Second Class, they're going to be a lot less lenient, and it's very, very, very rare that anyone ever...
More lenient?
Yeah, more lenient. And they're still going to be scrutinizing the scout in each individual level, but usually it's really one of those things with, okay, the scout did well, he's advancing, let's get him... It's more of a praise celebration. Let's get, you know, keep him on the path to attain Eagle and the Eagle Palms. So that's kind of on the earlier levels. And then they should all be questioning and you know, the scout all along at each individual level. But typically, again, it'll get longer and more in-depth questions, especially when you get to First Class, Star, and Life. And then obviously when you get to the Eagle, that's a greater burden to, because that's a huge honor within the Boy Scouting organization.
No, well, it makes sense that as you get older, there's going to be more requirements, sort of like when you're going through school. You know, it's going to be a little bit easier in kindergarten than you're going to find in fifth grade, than you're going to find in ninth. So,
right.
But
the answer to your
that.
Question is, ideally, is you'd want the scout to advocate for themselves. And,
okay.
And if that's not the case, what you'd want to do is have the scout then go maybe with the scoutmaster or an assistant scoutmaster and help have, you know, that route. But if the scout didn't feel comfortable either one of those routes, then, you know, you could also have the parent, you know, come in and help as well.
So now, as far as approval or denial goes, I would think that if you've gotten to this point, you've gotten past the Scoutmaster Conference, you've met your requirements, that approval would be pretty common. But what's your experience in terms of approval or denial, and what would be the process if someone were denied?
If the board approves the advancement, the scout will know immediately. They'll be called back and they'll be given the news. The denial of advancement is possible if the board decides the scout is not ready to advance. They just really don't feel. It's just, you know, they haven't met those milestones. The candidate should be informed and told what he hasn't done satisfactorily. Most scouts accept responsibility for not completing the requirements properly, but again, this should all have been done beforehand. The members of the boards of review should specifically tell what should be reworked and what the candidate's weaknesses are, and schedule another board review to follow up with them. So they may say, you know, we really don't feel you're ready right now. Why don't you work on these particular things and then come back in a month or two, but we'll reschedule this for you. Then a follow-up letter needs to be sent to the scout who's turned down for rank advancement, confirming the agreements reached and the actions necessary for the advancement. Should the scout disagree with the decision, an appeal process is available, and that's all within the rank advancement manual within the Boy Scouts of America. I, on a personal level, I've never really seen denial. I think the only I've heard of denials at the Eagle level because something wasn't completed as far as an Eagle project or something like that, or part of the requirement needed to be finished, but I've never personally heard of a board review denying anyone either at the tenderfoot, second class, first class, star, or life ranks, because it's pretty black and white. The scout should know going from the scoutmaster conference into the board review what they have and what they haven't done. Unless there was something that comes up that's really morally against the scout oath or law, and it's brought to the board's attention that the scout has done something that's really not in the true spirit of scouting, then I think it's very, very rare to put it that way, but it can happen.
Okay. I think that, you know, would provide peace of mind to a lot of the parents out there, because I think that's probably one of the biggest fears when you're going in is like, okay, are they going to deny me? I did all this work, but maybe my communication skills aren't maybe as fine-tuned as one would like. So it sounds like if they do the work, they've gotten their requirements met, they've had their Scoutmaster conference. It's just, you know, it's kind of a matter of just going through the process. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Absolutely. It's totally a matter of going through the process. And it's in a lot of ways, boards of review can be a big advantage in life learning skills that the scouts can take with them even past and help them in their next rank as well.
What would be the advantages of a board of review? How could that transfer over, you say, into other areas?
Well, first of all, the board, the scout has to interact with adults, the scout has to interact kind of on the fly, if you will. You know, he has to be able to think, hit through his answers and be able to come up and be able to communicate his answers effectively to the board for them to be able to understand where his journey has been. So being able to have that communication issue is very, very huge. The scout has a chance to bring up any issues that he's having. Say if there's bullying and he's having a problem with someone within the unit and it's not being rectified, this is a chance for the scout to be able to be an advocate beyond where he would normally be an advocate for. The scout can practice anxiety management, which I like to call, because it is a stressful situation, and being able to cope with stressful situations is going to be part of life. No matter if you're, you know, a Tiger Scout at 6 or a Eagle Scout at 18 or an adult at, 45, you're going to be, all through life, you're going to have stressful situations, and being able to manage that stress is a huge component. This gives the scout an opportunity to practice eye-to-eye contact. Many times, those on the autism spectrum, not all, have a problem with, direct eye-to-eye contact. This is a great way the scout can work for that. And it's also just preparing the process, you know, the whole process of being able to having that communication and being able to communicate effectively what you have, your personal feelings to another group. I think it can be really huge.
You know, those are really great points, John. You know, I see that there'd be a lot of different benefits and how that could apply to different things in life, specifically, college applications, you know, if you're having an interview or job interviews, you know, being able to give that practice in front of adults and in an environment where you may not always know what the questions are, those are really good skills to be able to practice.
And again, these are and the scout should be able to practice this before he even goes into the situation so he can reduce those anxieties. And, you know, when the scout is practicing, if he has the list of standard questions, that's great. But it's important that the people that are practicing with him deviate from that script, because there will be times where the scout will have to come up with an answer, and it really kind of, this is the board's kind of final checks and balances to make sure that the scout is progressing on the scout's own personal journey.
Right. So when you're role playing with the scout, you don't want to be using the same exact script every time. I mean, maybe for the process, but you want to be throwing out a variety of different types of questions and let that scout know that not every question may be asked.
Right. And you may even want to go, you know, it's good sometimes to put a little extra pressure on the scout in a friendly environment. And also, that's another advantage of a board review. Tell the scout beforehand, these people are here for you. Just like teachers are there for, you know, pupils, these people are just there to help you help the individual scout advance. And if the scout knows that these people are there for them, he may feel a little bit less apprehensive about going in and sharing, you know, being able to share more information.
That's wonderful. You know, I kind of feel like this whole process kind of fits within our four foundational pillars as well of accept, enrich, inspire, and power. I bet you think so as well.
I do. Thank you for that question. Because our four foundational powers for autism empowerment are accept, enrich, inspire, and empower. For acceptance, a scout, accept the scout for who they are and where they are and what they're and if they are not ready for advancement, that's okay. Scouting is not all about advancement. It's about learning life skills and having fun and having the scout feel accepted and being accepted by both the unit and by their families, especially. Enrichment, the scout may be challenged to set goals outside of their comfort zone and expand their world. And that's okay, too. That's great, because in life, that's how one grows, is they're enriching their lives by expanding their own personal comfort zone. You can inspire. The scouts can be positive encouragement. Use a kind tone, positive words. These will inspire the scouts to be better, and also as a role models for the scouts, so they will emulate the true oath and scout, live by the scout oath and law. They're not just words; they're definitely ideals that should be lived to by all, both leaders and by scouts every day. Empower by giving the scout the tools for advancement to be successful. You can give them the tools to do their best in life. And what you're doing, especially through a border review, is giving them tools that are going to be able to utilize in different circumstances throughout their life. This will empower them to excel in other circumstances throughout their life. So it's, don't look at a border review as a negative thing or an evil thing or something that's so oh my goodness, this is coming up, because a lot of scout, brand new scout parents that have just crossed either over from Cub Scouts into Boy Scouts, or just brand new to Boy Scouts in general, think about, oh, this border review, my son is going to be going up in front of and talking to these people he doesn't know in this uncomfortable situation. You as a parent have the opportunity to make the situation comfortable for the scout. One of the things my son did on his very first border review was his special interest is computers, and obviously computers a lot of times and scouting don't mix, especially out in the woods. But what he used to do was take a flash drive, and that made him comfortable. And he could just reach down and feel it, and he took those out on different camping outings. He took his flash drive into his very first border review, and he had it in his pocket. And he told me the story. And so he knew that he had his comfort. He had something that was safe to him, something that was of value, something that he could reach down and go, okay, I have this additional strength behind me, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, I mean, just a simple thing as a flash drive in a pocket. I mean, you could, if the scout has, you know, a favorite thing, such as like a favorite animal or something like that, have a card with that animal on in the pocket, knowing that special interest is right there, say, you know, being behind that scout, can be also very powerful too.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that's a wonderful tip and a great tool for people to use, because you have that. It's some part of the process that you can control. You may be able to role play, you may be able to practice in advance and be prepared as possible with the environment, but being able to have that little extra piece of comfort and security, I think, makes a very positive difference.
Well, I want to thank you, Karen. I know we only probably have like 2.5 minutes left, and I really want to thank you for having hosting this show today. You did a phenomenal job, and I just want to thank you for the wonderful questions.
Well, thank you. It was pretty easy when I had such a wonderful guest on my show. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our Autism and Scouting Radio listeners?
I just want to thank everyone for everything that you've done to make Autism and Scouting such a success worldwide. We're nearing almost 1,000 likes on Facebook. It's just amazing how far we've come in 2 years. We're really getting the message out there. For parents and scout leaders, really, really inspire your scouts to do the best they personally can. That's something that really is important. And for the scouts out there, just keep on plugging away. We're all here behind you, supporting you, and we want you to be successful. We want to give you the tools that you can be successful and live and have a wonderful life, and scouting just have a great time and have lots of fun.
Absolutely. And make sure to go ahead and connect with us on Facebook at our Autism and Scouting Facebook page at http://www.facebook.com/autismandscouting, and also our Autism Empowerment page, facebook.com/autismempowerment. We really would like you to connect with us beyond the show, and please feel free to tell your friends and family, subscribe to our radio broadcasts, leave us a positive rating on iTunes so our programs are accessible to more people. And again, thank you so much for listening into our show. And John, thank you so much for a very helpful topic about Board of Reviews. And we look forward to the next Autism and Scouting Radio broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been
Bye,
listening
everyone.
To Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.